the days getting shorter.
And then the days start getting longer. Isn't that exciting? No, wait a minute. What is today? The 8th, right? The 9th. Well, guess what? In 2 weeks, they'll start getting longer. Ah, that's exciting. I just, that upward climb, I love that. When it's so dark at 5:30, you think you've been, you think it's 8:30 now. That's when it's really getting, days are getting short, aren't they? Okay. We're on the attributes of God. Let's see how your memory is doing. You spent any time thinking about this? Well, they say if you repeat something 7 times, you got it. So, what verse in the Bible, what statement of Christ concerning Abraham tells us, which statement of Christ concerning Abraham declares his eternality? What statement of Christ about Abraham declares his eternality? Very, very good. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. Okay? The Synoptic Gospels introduce Christ in his incarnation. What gospel introduces Christ's existence from eternity? Gospel of John. Okay, what's the verse? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Introduces Christ's existence from eternity. Okay? What Psalm tells us that God exists from everlasting to everlasting? Okay, Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Okay, what Psalm, oh, wait a minute, we'll have to relate that differently. Okay, we'll see if you're following along. What Psalm declares in detail God's both his omniscience and his omnipresence? Psalm 139. Okay. What verse in Proverbs tells us that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil? What's the verse? Proverbs 15:3. Okay, thinking of God's omnipresence, fill in the blanks. Because of God's omnipresence, the sinner should be afraid of God's presence. And the saint should put off fear and do the will of God. (Clears Christ gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and disciple all nations. And what did he end it with? Lo, I'm with you always. Okay? So those who are doing the will of God, his omnipresence is encouragement, is motivation, is the antidote to fear. And so the attribute of God is different things to different people at different times, and it ought to be. And of course, that was David Livingston's, I guess you call it David Livingston's life verse. David Livingston, they were about to go to an area of Africa that was known to have fierce cannibals. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion amongst his men whether what they should do. And David Livingston went back into his tent and reviewed the Great Commission there in Matthew, which was his life verse. And that phrase, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the age, came out of his tent. He said, no problem. God's given me his promise, and I'm with you always, and so let's go. And they went forward, and obviously they weren't eaten by the cannibals. But it was his promise of his presence that is the key to doing the will of God, and certainly it is the promise, the truth that we should claim, and anybody who's called to serve the Lord, no matter where it is, that's the promise that they can claim. It's something that a person would like to forget about. But if a person is doing the will of God, it is the greatest encouragement that you can imagine, isn't it? And of course, we can think about that in our own life, and maybe it will, it can some ways kind of tell us where we're at spiritually. You know, if we are thinking and relying upon the presence of God, it has a real kind of a telltale of where we're at spiritually. But if we'd like to ignore it and not think about it, well, that tells us a lot about ourselves as well, doesn't it? Okay, so let's do a little bit of review. Oh, wait, let's see here. I didn't put any review on. So let's do some review. Some more review. What verse in the Bible tells us that God's holiness is glorious? What verse in the Bible tells us that God's holiness is glorious? That's the beauty of God's holiness. Exodus 15:11. What does it mean that his holiness is glorious? Carol? Okay? It's heavy. It is brings great honor, okay, and is, again, kind of lifting up his holiness as, you know, the top attribute of God. Okay, tell me a verse in the Old Testament that tells us that the angels in heaven are constantly speaking of the holiness of God. In the Old Testament? Isaiah 6:3. Okay? Is there any merit to the fact that they're saying holy, holy, holy? Is that just an accident? Obviously, there's no accents. What do you think it is? Al? Speaks of the Trinity. Okay? All right. And that what verse in the Bible tells us that God's holiness is such a significant attribute that he swears by his holiness? It's in the Psalms. Nancy? Psalm 89 and verse 35. Okay? All right. Let's go and look at some truths about the omniscience. Okay? I don't know how that got... That's okay, so the second section is truths about the omniscience of God, not omnipresence. Okay? Truths about the omniscience. Omniscience. Okay? That's how you write it. Omniscience. Okay? God knows... every past action. God knows every past action. Now that can be good or bad, can't it? What is Hebrews 6:10? Let's turn there. Every past action. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he has showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Okay? Now that's pretty positive truth, isn't it? Men forget, and sometimes people even forget themselves. But certainly men forget, but God doesn't forget. And that is a important, you know, it's an important truth of life. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Of course, this is speaking of the greatness of God. What a great passage in the Bible. It says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Well, we can start verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and over and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And who taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Well, the answer is no one. Why? Because God knows everything, doesn't he? Nobody had to instruct the Lord, and because he is full of knowledge. Psalm 33. Verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their heart alike, he considereth all their works. Obviously, the idea of beholding is the idea of knowing, right? If you say to your child, he asked a question, did you do such and such? And they said, no, I didn't do that. And you say, I saw you do it. Okay? Well, to see, in that sense, is to know, isn't it? Okay? To see is to know. And those two are connected. Okay, God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. 2 is God knows every present action. Isaiah 46 and verse 10 is a great verse. Verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So, you know, you think about that. We can only see as far as the horizon, can't we? We can only see as far as the horizon physically. We can only see as far as our human limitations. We can only see that far. but God now sees and knows everything, the end from the beginning. And obviously, that's a great truth. Certainly, a truth that ought to cause us to go to His Word and depend upon His Word. Now, think about it. Does the world think that God knows the future? Do they really think that God knows the future? Yeah, they really don't, do they? Because if they did, they would recognize that the events of the future are found in the Bible, right? And the Bible is is the source of all that information. I was just, it is simply amazing when you think about, I was just reading this last week about all the different archaeological discoveries of kingdoms and nations that mankind didn't really know even existed, and that you know, the modern archaeologist does not believe the Bible, but the modern archaeologist knows that that if they want to know something to give them an insight into the ancient world, there's one place that has never failed them: the Bible. It's kind of amazing how that can work, can't it? Okay, so God knows the future. So that's why we need to obey God, and that's why young people need to obey God. And because God knows the future. He's got it all. He's got it all figured out. And he causes us to obey him because he knows the future. And obviously, there's a negative on that. If he knows, how do we figure this out? He knows the future, therefore we should obey him. He knows the future. And what does that tell us about the person who disobeys? God knows their future too, right? God knows their future. You know, most people figure that it's all going to be okay. We don't have to obey the Lord. It's just all okay. let's look at another verse. God knows every human thought. Psalm 94. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know him? Shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity unto the pit, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Now, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of men. How many, as he thinks of our thoughts, how many of our thoughts would the Lord take issue with? You ever, you know, if you're older and you've been around a while, you know, we don't have the ability to, what should I say? We don't have the ability to read people's minds, obviously. but we can, after a while, you can begin to realize that, you know, certain kinds of statements reveal certain kind of thoughts, right? Certain kind of actions reveal certain kind of thoughts. And when a person is making certain kind of statements or they're making certain kind of actions, it's revealing their thought pattern. Well, God knows all about those thoughts even before they come out, don't they? And so do you think that if God knows our thoughts, do you think that there's good thoughts? Do you think there are sinful thoughts? Do you think that thoughts reveal motives, and that there are good motives and there are bad motives? And if God knows our thoughts, should we deal with our thoughts in the same way we deal with our actions? Yeah, we should. If our thoughts, you know, you think about the sinfulness of man. Man acts like his thoughts aren't known to God, right? And therefore, because his thoughts aren't known to God, he doesn't have to deal with his thoughts. But when we realize that our thoughts are known to God, then we have to realize that even though other people don't know our thoughts can be sinful. And we are to search our hearts. We're to search our thoughts. And we are to weigh our thoughts. And we are to declare those thoughts before God as right or wrong, as sin or righteous. Well, now we're getting down to where life really is, isn't it? Okay? And when God tells us he knows our thoughts, that makes our thoughts subject to the reality of even our thoughts need to be dealt with in our own lives. Okay? And again, here is a whole aspect of practicing the presence of God. Okay? So let's stop there a moment here. Yes.
We realize you're taking those thoughts in our minds. My question is, at what point, and that we can't prevent, we all know that, but is it when we pursue that thought,
we may not know where that thought came from.
Right.
And that... Then we need to, what do we need to do with every thought?
Bring it into
captivity. And bring it to obedience to Christ. And so that thought needs to be weighed, it needs to be judged, it needs to be declared either, it needs to be declared sin, it needs to be declared as wrong, if it's wrong, and it needs to be refused. Okay? Now, here's a good point. Okay? Can you think whatever you want? and get away with it? No. Now people think they can think whatever they want, and that's fine. No. Man cannot think whatever he wants to think. You know why people end up doing terrible things? You know why you have such people as mass murderers? You know why you have those kind of people? Because they felt they could hold on to any thought that they decided they want to hang on to. And it was okay. You know, a mass murderer usually, these kind of people, they fit under a pattern. And they're people who think that they can think whatever they want and keep thinking whatever thoughts they want and keep pursuing them. You can't do that. And you just can't keep thoughts in your mind that you want to have. And those thoughts will destroy a person. That's how people end up with mental illness, is because they think that they can think on thoughts and not deal with them. And people have to realize that they have a responsibility over their thoughts. And any thought that is wrong needs to be dealt with, needs to be confessed, needs to be cast out, because it's no different than, a drinking poison. you bring it into you, and it's going to destroy you. Now, how do we deal with those thoughts? Well, we know that God knows every thought, and therefore we have to judge those thoughts in light of a God who knows our every thought. And if he knows our every thought, that means that we have to give account of that, doesn't it? Don't we? And if we keep a thought that we shouldn't keep, well, not only is it going to do us great harm mentally and psychologically, it's also going to lead us down the wrong path in life. And that is, and there's going to be judgment. That is the, okay, if you want to memorize something that's hard, what's the easy way of doing it? I told our Sunday school class, the Sunday school teacher, I said, one of you music people, why don't you make up a song about the attributes of God? Now, music people know they can control a society by controlling their thoughts, and they control people's thoughts through what? Music. And it's a very subtle way of controlling a population, isn't it? Okay, well, we'll have to fill in these blanks. Okay, one. Results of understanding the omniscience of God. God rewards those who serve him. Number two, the fear of God. Three, peace and strength from God, and trust God with your life. It says, in Matthew, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But God knoweth the things that you have need of. And of course, I'm just paraphrasing it, but why does he say he knows what we need, therefore we can trust him with our life? He's going to take care of us. That's why we can trust him. He knows what we need. He isn't going to forsake us, and he knows what we need, and so we don't have to pursue life like a Gentile. We can give God our life, and we know that He's not going to forget us. He's going to take care of us. Man might forget us, but God's not going to forget us. Yes.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Psalm 19:14.
Yes. And that is a great psalm, Psalm 19:14. And you know, I find that in the spiritual battle of life, when I have a thought that isn't right, I quote that verse. I quote that verse in the spiritual battle over my mind. And and that is a great truth for us, but it's a great, powerful verse in fighting our mind and the devil. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we are thankful to be reminded today of your knowledge of everything. And Lord, such knowledge is really too wonderful for us to comprehend. But certainly, it causes us to realize that we can trust you because you understand everything. It certainly ought to cause us, Lord, to not lean under our own understanding. It certainly ought to cause us to go to your word and to listen to your spirit. And Lord, to even take the pathway of constantly putting our thoughts before you and making sure that, Lord, our thoughts would be acceptable in your sight. So, Lord, bless the service to follow, and all your people that are here, may these truths be a help. In Jesus' name, amen.